Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Call of Duty. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. But basically what has happened in 1 Samuel 17 is that the Philistine army, there's a giant called Goliath. And Goliath comes out every day almost and says, if you'll take me on, anybody can whip me, you win. If I whip you, we win. You're our servants, we're your servants. So this giant keeps coming out and challenging this young kid, David, who isn't even in the army, shows up shuttling food back and forth to his family. He hears about this giant who comes up and says all these things and basically doesn't just defy the army, but defies God, the God of the army. The question was, what are you doing? What are you involved with in your life that if God doesn't do it, it isn't going to happen? Are you involved in things that if God comes through or not, you got it covered? If God provides the money or not, I got enough savings. Whether God comes through or not, I'm smart enough to get this thing done. And that's where the battle hits. And no matter how smart, no matter how much money shows up, no matter how sophisticated we are, unless God does what only He can do, nothing will happen. And people come to this church and think something's going on. Let me tell you something. There's no preacher. There's no anybody that can make the wind blow. And when you sit here on a Sunday and you sense something going on beyond the air being a certain temperature and the organ music or whatever happens, the piano, well, you think, well, certain things give you goosebumps. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. There's certain things that is only explained by God doing it. Those are the things I'm starting to look for in my life. I don't want to do something that can be done without God. Get above, connect with Him and get beyond who you are. Now, David, well, I'm going to read you some of these verses again. David says some things, but what we're going to talk about today is that he didn't just say the right things, he did the right things. And so many people don't ever get to the call of duty. They don't go do something about what they've heard, okay? All right, look down here. Let's look at verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. They tried to put all the king's armor on him. He couldn't do that. He said, no, let me just go my own way. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You are never alone. Guys, there is a point at which it's like a couple that falls in love and something about no matter what their parents, and I'm not saying what your parents say is not important, but sometimes you have such passion, you have such love, you have such conviction that no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, you are going to do what you're going to do. And you get to a point where you cross a line in your life. You say, you know what? If you fire me, I will not back down. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If I drop dead, you go back and look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. If you've never read that story, it's an awesome story. They said, you know what? If God saves us, He saves us. But if we perish, we perish. We're not backing down. They threw him in the fire and they lived. The guys that threw them in died throwing them in, but they lived. Our God is an awesome God. And the problem is too many people leave church or leave every day of their life thinking they're alone. They don't go above. They don't ever get beyond. They don't ever do anything for God because they think it's just little old me. What can I do? If you are a non-believer, you have never received the gift of eternal life and you don't have the God of the universe living in you and through you, you're in a heap of trouble. Because you leave every day by yourself. Let me tell you something. Even if I don't want him to go with me, he goes with me. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Even if you leave and forsake me, I'm going with you wherever you go. That's why I say to people, you go in a strip joint, you're taking Jesus in there. You do drugs, you're putting drugs in God's body. You're putting, it's him. He's in there. He's taking them too. Wherever you take him, you take him. Whatever you do, he does. Whatever you say, you're representing him. You cannot shake him. You are not going to get away from him. And that's a very comforting thing, but at some point it's a very embarrassing thing. You are never going to get by yourself if you ever get this God. Nobody, the Bible says, can pluck us out of his hand. So you're stuck with God once you get him. And that's a good thing theologically to know, and I hope you're weaving some things in here. Some people think, oh, I screwed up, God left me. You can't get rid of this God. It cost him way too much to get you and then dump you. Okay? So you're not by yourself, and you need to stop trying to do whatever you're trying to do by yourself. And when you get an impulse to take a stand, take a stand. This little ruddy, good-looking kid says, you know what? You're not jacking with me or this army. You have defied the God of the universe. And he was ignorant enough or wise enough or something to say, you can't do that. And I can't take you out, but my God can. And some of us guys have got these little bitty gods who can't do anything and can't come through. And we don't trust or believe anything. And we read all these, the tragedy sometimes, we teach little kids these stories, but we don't teach them to live these stories. And say, you know what, it's not just David. When the giants show up, take him out. Not by yourself, but say, you know what? My God is an awesome God, and you can't jack with him. Period. You say, well, you'll get your butt kicked. No, you won't. And if you do, it's still better to go down that way, the right way, and end up in heaven even if you die, and say, well, I tried to do the right thing. Was it okay? You know, and see what happens. Take a stand. It works. All right, look what this kid says then. Let's read this verse again. Verse 45, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, now he starts talking some noise. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. There are some people I've wanted to say that to. Anyhow. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me tell you something. God is not interested in you being a war hero. God is interested in you being who you're supposed to be. And when they go to hand out the crowns, everybody points to God and says, you know what? That little boy did nothing except obey and take his place in the battle and point to God. And when it's all said and done, and people ask me this, what do you think is your ultimate purpose for being alive? What do you think God wants for your life? Do you know what the answer to that is? God's ultimate purpose for your life is to bring glory to him. Biblically, that is your ultimate purpose. God's whole reason for leaving us here is so that what we do, how we live, what we say in the end points everything to him. And people go, what an awesome God. They don't see you. They don't see me. They may acknowledge him in you, but they go, I'm going to give glory to God. And everything you ought to do ought to point to that. And that's what David says here. I'm going to give your head, your body, every piece of you to the birds. And everyone will know, the end of verse 46, that there is a God in Israel, that there is a God in this church, that there is a God in this city who will not take this anymore. You say, well, you're pretty adamant. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in being mad at hell and mad as hell. And you've heard me say this before. There are a lot of preachers get up and you just think, you know what? He's just mad as hell. He isn't mad at hell. He's just mad about something. I get pretty cranked about this. You know why? Because the stuff that the enemy puts out there is destroying lives. It's wrecking homes. And at some point, you got to say, you know what? Enough is enough. We're going to take a stand and say no more. Or we're going to take a city and say, you know what? There's some things going on, but we're telling you, it may be a big city, there may be a lot of people, and we may be outnumbered, but you can't get outnumbered because anybody with God outnumbers anybody. One person with God is more than anybody. Verse 47, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. Now, guys, this is where we're going. God does not need a sword and a spear to win. It is not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what the book says. Everybody will know that God does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There are a lot of people, even if you are a Christian, you've received this gift, you understand you have nothing to offer God, you just take this gift. There are people who become a Christian and they know as sure as they're sitting there, they're going to die and go to heaven. Their problem is they got to live. And they don't know how they're going to make it between that moment and heaven. It is a war out there. Everything in the Old Testament is exterior. It is physical stuff. You read the Old Testament, it's like some kind of battle book. Man, there are wars and people getting beheaded and thousands of people dying. It's unbelievable. And you think, what is this about? There are actual wars in the Old Testament. And I'm not saying all the wars have ended, but guys, the spiritual battle went from actual battles of Israel and Philistines and all these people. In the New Testament, it goes to, the battle never stopped. It just went into the spiritual realm. So you don't have a sword, you don't have a spear in the technical, traditional sense of the word, but even the book calls itself the sword of the Spirit. You still have weapons, and we'll turn over to Ephesians in a minute. You still have armor. There is still a battle, and if you go out in your shorts and tank top every day, you're going to get killed. There is not a warrior on the planet. If you don't go out with some kind of weaponry that works, you're going to get slaughtered. And people go out every day and come back just beat to pieces. And they go, what happened today? What's wrong? You walked into war without being prepared. The devil's got a plan for you and the war still rages. And David is about to go into a literal battle. And we'll look at some parallels here in a second. The assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine, now guys, this is where it gets awesome. Again, this one is Blockbuster in heaven. I don't know if they'll be there, but one of these movies I'm going to rent. This little kid. Do you know what it does when some person, some obscure person, some kid takes a stand to everyone else? The entire army gets cranked. When one person will take a stand for God, it mobilizes an entire army of people. You know what that does for me? That encourages me to take a stand and say, you know what? Well, if you can do it, I can do it. Who is she? I'm not going to get left out. And it doesn't mean you go militant, you know, wagging your Bible and take a Christian flag into, you know, your office and go, na 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 boo boo head and, you know, make them shoot at you. There's enough war without making war. But just go through the normal day and see what happens. David has said a lot of stuff. He is talking trash to this guy. And you know what? They like, fine. Everything, and there are people who will listen to this tape, people sitting in this room go, man, this guy's, he's a lunatic. You're crazy. Who do you think you are? Some little church. You can't do anything. You're exactly right, but don't factor him out. And there are too many churches trying to do too many things with that problem. They factor him out. They raise all this money and crank all this stuff up, and people come in and go, well, we could do this. We had enough cash, enough property. We could have church. There's nothing going on that's explained supernaturally. And people say, man, all this stuff is foolishness. Jesus doesn't change anybody's life. Then you take me around this room. If you say it's foolishness, I'll take you row by row, chair by chair, and say, all right, explain this. How's this person been on heroin for 30 years, and now they're not? How's this couple who was on the verge of divorce, didn't even like each other, had sex once a month if they were lucky, don't even want to get near each other. How are they passionate and in love and things are going great? Show me their counselor that can explain it. Show me the medicine they've taken that'll explain it. Guys, you get to a place sooner or later where there is no explanation but that the God of the universe has intervened, and even doctors on health issues have to say it's supernatural. Whatever that means, they don't know how to explain it, but something happened and we don't know how to explain it. I like that stuff. You know why I like that stuff? Because God likes that stuff. You know why God likes that stuff? Because he gets the glory, and that's what he's after, and that's what he deserves. So get yourself in situations where things are happening, where God gets the glory, and there is no way anybody can say you did it. He talks trash, but I'm going to show you in a verse here that is unbelievable. And when you read the Bible, read it slow so you don't miss these details. So it was, verse 48, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, the talking's over, that David hurried and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Come on, big boy. This isn't a little kid who's talking trash and going, well, you know, I made a mistake and hooks him back to the house. That Philistine got up and you know what David did? He got his stuff together and took off running at that Philistine. Man, I pray you get this stuff. And guys, what happens is the devil says, okay, great. You got God? Great. You're going to die and go to heaven? Great. Your life's going to be hell? Leave that to me. And we say, well, I guess getting heaven's great and I'll go with that. Let me tell you something, guys. Heaven is great, but life is even better. Because that's where you are right now till you get to heaven. So God comes along and says, look, I'm trying to show you this. I live in you. And there's no limit to what I can do. And if you ask me for stuff and it's what I want, it's going to happen. Trust me, ask me, believe in me. You're not by yourself. I made the planets. I threw the stars out there. I make everything stay together. I can change your world. I can do what I want to do, and you'll just get to be a part of it. Let me do my thing. And we go, but God, I can't do anything. It's just me. He says, that's the point. It's not just you. There is no limit to what God can do through them if they will say, you know what, God, I'm not very big, I'm not very strong, I'm not very whatever, but you're everything, so whatever I've got, I give you that, and let's do something with it. And they go above and beyond to the call of duty, and something happens, and here's what happens. This kid runs toward the army to meet the Philistine. Verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. You say, all I got's a slingshot and a rock. You know what? A slingshot and a rock in the right place can cause a lot of damage. Don't worry about what you don't have. You take what you do have and let God do with what he has, and stuff happens. Took out a stone, slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine, but there was no sword in the hand of David. What was David's purpose that day? I'm going to show you that God does not deliver by a sword or a spear or anything else. He'll take who I am and what I've got and defy anybody. He can get it done. Therefore, David ran. Man, I'm telling you, this must have been some sight. This little kid slings a stone, pops this guy in the head. He falls flat on his face. That army's watching. David's army's watching. David runs, stands over the Philistine. This little kid over this 9-foot giant who's on the ground. Stands over this Philistine, took his sword, took the Philistine, Goliath's sword, drew it out of its sheath, which means a guy hadn't even drawn his sword and he is dead. And killed him, cut off his head with it, and when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The devil can do some damage, guys, but his roar is a whole lot louder. So many people say, well, there's God and the devil. Not a chance. There is God and there is the devil. He is a created being and he is limited in what he can do. And basically, you authorize a lot of times what he can do or not do, not him. And if you let him kick your all day, all over the place, and do what he wants to do, that is somewhat your problem. God can't even stop it if you'll allow it. All right, let's finish the story. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. Once momentum builds, guys, there's no stopping it. And it takes one person, a lot of times, who will do the right thing, and a whole army is mobilized, and they take the enemy. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. You know what? Nobody even knows who this kid is. He's so obscure. You say, I'm nobody. Nobody's going to know who I am. Nobody's going to care. But now they're asking. You know why? Because something happened that nobody could explain. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. What are you going to say when your enemy is defeated and somebody says, whose son are you? You won't win unless you can say, I'm the son, I'm a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm a child of the living God. At some point, guys, no matter what you say or what you say you believe in your head, it will cause you to move. You are going to have to do something. You're going to end up in your office with a boss who says, tone it down, and you're going to say, you know what, I can't do that. It's not that you're a slackard on the job. It's not that you're not one of the best employees on your job. It's that you take a stand and you don't back down because they're not backing down. They protest and march over all kind of junk and nobody says a thing. You start talking about Jesus, you're on the street. But I'd rather be on the street for taking a stand than stuck in a job in compromise. Now see, these words, oh, amen, right on. You know, it's great in church. Take it to the street. Run out the door and go back to your job and say, you know what, enough's enough. Take a stand out there. That's the call of duty. That's where you have to do something about it. And that's what changes your life. That's what changes the battle. That's what changes the world, because people say, who do these people think they are? And the enemy has to back down and literally run away. The book says, if you submit yourself, therefore, unto God, then you resist the devil. You know what it says he'll do? He will flee from you. Same terminology. And sometime, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I want you this afternoon before you go to bed to read Ephesians chapter 6. And if you want to know where your armor is and where the battle is in the context of prayer, it's in Ephesians chapter 6. Start at verse 10 and read to the end of the chapter. It describes a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I mean, it goes through and gives you your uniform, your battle armament. And there is still a battle, and you've got to fight it every day, and you say, well, I'm not interested in that, then you're going to be what I call a POW, a prisoner of war till the day you die and go to heaven. And that is not why Jesus died, just to have you stuck in some cell the rest of your life not doing anything that matters. And all you got to do is say to your jailkeeper, you know what, I don't belong here, please open the gates, I'm gone. Because somebody died to set me free and give me life and to give it to me more abundantly, and I'm going to go live it. And I've had enough of this. Do something. There is no stopping anybody or any church who is filled with people who will say, you know what, enough talk, I'm going to do something. And when God puts it in your heart and the courage is there, the thought's there, the passion's there, take action, take a step and run on the enemy and do something. Try something and see what God will do.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these kids like David, for these stories that are not just made up stories. These are real live people, God, who went through real stuff. And Father, though we don't have armies marching against us in this city in a literal sense, there is a spiritual war that rages, and we either fight it or get trampled by it. And I pray that you would mobilize us, Lord, to see that there is a battle to be fought, there's a life to be lived, there are decisions to be made. And that as James says, as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works, without taking some action, is dead. And nobody knows that we know you. Nobody even believes that we know you or give a rip about any of this unless they see a change in our life, unless they see us take action and mobilize and do more than just what we say, but do what we say. Help us to be not just hearers of the word only, as the scripture says, but to be doers of the word. And Father, there are people listening to this message, and they know the facts of the gospel. They know Jesus died. They believe he was buried. They even think he's alive. He's raised from the dead. But they don't understand or don't believe or haven't accepted the fact that you did all that for them. And instead of just believing in their head, they've got to receive this gift that you purchased into their life personally and say, God, I'm the sinner. I'm the one that screwed up. I'm the one that needs your forgiveness. I'm the one that said my way is right and your way is wrong, and I'm changing my mind. I'm saying your way is right, my way is wrong. I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me. I thank you for Jesus, that his blood was shed to pay my way, that he was buried and raised from the dead to give me not only eternal life, but an abundant life between here and heaven. And God, I want in on that. And right now, sitting here, I'm asking you to come into my heart, into my life, and change it and give me a fresh start, a clean slate. Father, thank you for loving us, and I thank you for the potential, the absolute keg of dynamite, the power, the potential in this room and in people's lives who will stand, but who will also speak and move and do and go above and beyond the call of duty. We love you, God, and we thank you for loving us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.